Welcome to the Minivate Gang podcast for Saturday, November 8th, 2008. And we're very pleased to have a couple of gang members on. But first, I'd like to introduce Luke Fransel. How'd I do, Luke?
Good. That was great.
And you can tell what you do, but I scraped some stuff off your blog and so on. You're a programmer, sometimes a writer, and advocate for a better world.
I need to change my website.
Oh, do you? Okay, so you don't care about a better world?
Not that any of those things aren't true, but I wrote that when I was like 22. So.
Oh, gotcha. And you're at Stellant, right?
No, not anymore.
Okay, and where are you now? You need to tell us where you are then.
All right, so I work at TumbleOn, which is a website that John Dahl and some other people came up with for helping parents of young children, communicate with their families and each other, and also learn how to be effective parents.
Got it. And if you could, before you do this, I got to announce who else is on the call. I see that Garrick Van Buren just joined. Garrick, how you doing?
Hello.
And good Phil morning. Phil Wilson.
Hello. How are you?
And Tim Elliott.
Hey. Good morning.
And I'm Steve Borsch. So let's get cranked up. I had never and have never heard the story of the genesis of Mini Demo. And I'd love it if you would just kind of start off and just tell us about how this got started.
Sure. So as you know, it was Ben Edwards who really got the ball rolling for Mini Bar, which of course is the Twin Cities area's bar camp. In most cities, they'll call it Bar Camp Madison or Bar Camp Austin or whatever. But Ben came up with this, what I think is kind of a clever name, the mini thing, like the mini whatever. So that's where the name comes from. And the idea, I think, originally came from Toronto, where they started this thing called Demo Camp. And is basically the format that we use, maybe a little different, but they got, five or six local startups or open source projects or whatever to come and demo their software for 10 minutes or whatever in front of the local tech community, and then they'd go out for drinks. So I was, after going to the first bar camp here, I was pretty excited by that. And I was talking to my friend Dan Grigsby, and I said, I see also in Toronto they're doing this demo camp thing. That would be great if we could start something like that here. And so we decided to do it. And the first one was held in... another thing about our mini demo is that it's always involved drinking. Yeah. And so we usually have
theme developing. Anybody else seeing a theme developing here?
We're not alcoholics, really, I swear.
The best event in town.
We can quit anytime, honest.
Yeah, that's right.
You just don't want to.
So we usually have it at a bar. And the first one was at Chiang Mai Thai in Uptown. I think it was a success, but the big problem was that nobody could hear the demos. And so that's a problem we've been struggling with ever since. And I think finally for this one, we've got a venue where it actually has a theater. So the people who want to hear the demos should be able to do that. And the people who just want to network should be able to just network. And, after the demos are over, everybody else can join in.
Well, and that was the lack of being able to really get into the value proposition was one of the reasons that we started Minivate. Mm-hmm. So that we could, drill in and talk to, get to know the people and the team and the product and the value proposition in more depth.
Yep.
That was probably the most end of conversation, yep, I've ever heard.
Well, there's nothing else to say. I'm just going to hang
on. Yeah, right. I'll edit out the gap. The big gap.
Now you can't edit out the gap now because you got to have the pause for effect.
That's right.
Otherwise, this whole part of the conversation has to go too. And then this part of the conversation. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No. Well, it's a 5-minute Minivate Gang podcast.
Well, I got to tell you that
like a half dozen of these, and one of the, I'm suspecting that the biggest challenge you have, which each consecutive one is location.
Mm-hmm.
That meets the beer and connectivity requirements as well as capacity requirements.
Yeah, it's very difficult. And the last two mini Dibbos have been at O'Gara's Garage in St. Paul, which is a pretty big music venue. And the problem with it, again, was that there was no separation between the demos and the talking. And we thought, all right, this is a concert venue. We'll just crank up the volume on the demos, and the people who want to hear will be able to hear. But the power of 300 people to talk over anything they want is pretty strong. So, again, we had this problem where there's like 50 people in front watching, trying to hear, and 250 people talking over them. So I think we finally found a venue that will work for us. And that's Intermediate Arts in Uptown. It's an art gallery and performance space. So we've rented the whole thing, and we're going to have the theater for the people who are going to be watching the demos. And they have a really big screen, so we didn't have to rent that this time. And they have their own projector, so we didn't have to scrounge around for a projector. And they have a sound system, so that's good. And then the gallery, it's a really cool space. Everybody who will want to talk can be out there talking. And then we're bringing in, it's not a bar this time, so we're bringing in a couple kegs and some appetizers. So I think it'll be a pretty good time.
So, Luke, how were the companies chosen for the demos? Was it just first come, first serve, or was there some selection process?
Yeah, as Mini Demo gets more popular, this is something that I really struggle with because, you know, originally it's very first come, first serve, right? You know, it was like, edit the wiki page and add your name. And I think that's worked out pretty well. But as it gets more popular, I worry about, like, you know, what if somebody really lame signs up? Do I have to allow them to present because I have said that it's first come, first serve? So it basically was first come, first serve. But I'm sort of instituting a lameness filter, I guess you could say. Like, if something is obviously not relevant to the community or, you know, is some sort of scam or something like that, I'm not going to allow them to present. But I basically set out the call for, you know, people to contact me if they wanted to present. And the 10 companies that are presenting are basically the 10 that contacted me first.
So you actually looked at and made sure that there was actually something up and running.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. And I also contacted the people who are on the waiting list for the last event because they, you know, they got on the waiting list. So I thought that they should have a chance to jump on if they could.
Yep. Yep. Great. You know,
Can we kind of go through each of these, those that are presenting just real quick? I mean, Luke, would you be comfortable enough just doing a quick little here's what they're offering and that sort of thing, or
sure.
Okay. You know, it's at the start of the page, you know, top of your page is Periscope, which is a Basecamp iGoogle sort of gadget, right?
That's right.
Excellent job, Phil. You should be scrounging up some money for them. I think you got the pitch down.
Well, I'm just reading what's on the page, so
you do it with such authority.
Well, you know, I do what I can. That's me.
So after I made fun of you guys for not being able to pronounce my name, I'm probably going to butcher Ivan's. Ivan Stijic actually contacted me way before Mini Demo was even like happening and was like, I want to present at the next Mini Demo. And I was like, okay, I'll contact you. And he is he owns a local design company, I believe it is, called 107 Interactive. And basically what he's built is a way for... I don't know if any of you guys use iGoogle, like the dashboard or whatever that Google has.
Yep.
This allows you to add Basecamp into that. So you can add tasks and see messages and stuff right on your iGoogle. So you get into work in the morning, check your iGoogle, you're surfing your news, and there's your feed of the latest things that are happening in Basecamp. Plus you can interact with it. So it's, you know, it's like a Basecamp control.
Cool. And you probably know a little bit about TumbleOn.
Just a little.
Let's hope.
So now try to keep it to a minimum.
Yeah. So as I mentioned, I worked for TumbleOn, and so I actually ran this one by Ben. I was like, okay, Ben, we want to, well, John and the PR people want to launch TumbleOn at Mini Demo. Is that okay with you? And he said, okay, that's fine. So I ran this one by Ben. There's, you know, a minor conflict of interest. But the truth of it is they asked me first. So, you know, can we present at Mini Demo? And I was like, Luke, can they present at Mini Demo? Okay. But basically, as I said before, TumbleOn is a site for parents with young children that, you know, it's got blogging features, but it also allows you to track your children's development interactively. So you can record when your kids hit milestones and sort of keep an online record of that and then share that with your family and friends. Everything's got customizable privacy statuses, so you don't have to publish this to the world unless you want to. And then we also recommend developmentally appropriate toys and gear for your kids, so that you don't have to, you know, sort of dig through all the plastic crap and find some beeping toy that is really annoying. It's a definitely a parenting site with a distinctive philosophy. And if you start reading the featured blogs and stuff like that we have on there, you'll kind of get into that philosophy. And we're hoping that people who share that will join us there.
And to what age range does it serve as far as kids? How far along can you take it?
Right now, so what we did is we licensed some content from a couple books and also from a website called How Kids Develop. And that stuff goes up to age 5, or actually 6. And so for the years after that, so the early years are our initial focus, but as we get that content filled out, we're going to start adding activities and stuff like that for older kids, and especially books and stuff like that, because by that time, like, the kids know what they want to do, but, you know, I mean, what's the activity going to be, like, sign up for soccer? But I think definitely recommending good children's literature is really important at that point. The site is really heavily focused on literacy because the co-founder, Graham, has tons of research that shows that literacy is, like, pretty much one of the biggest predictors of whether or not kids are going to succeed in school.
So the focus is on early development, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm back in it right now, Luke. I haven't actually checked it out for a while.
Yeah.
And it looks really nice. So congrats on the evolution.
Thanks.
And one thing is, it's getting a very a LinkedIn feel. So I'm wondering if there's, like, play date coordination and, like, being able to vet the friend's kids and things like, you know, things like that.
Not yet, Garrick, but I think we'll get back on that.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, vetting the kids is only for Alaska, so that's
vetting the kids' parents is what I'd want to do.
There we go. Tie it to their LinkedIn accounts. Yeah.
When I looked at this too, as I immediately saw, you maybe you know the franchise Once Upon a Child, where you can, you know, do used, you know, bring in your gently used toys and clothes and gear.
Moderately slobbered upon stuff.
Moderately, yeah. Yes. And I thought, wow, what a great, I mean, to have a marketplace, an exchange marketplace of some kind.
Yeah.
Especially if it was local.
Yeah. Well, and we're hoping to build out kind of local features too. And this is all dependent on people actually signing up for the site. So,
right.
Tell your friends.
There's that.
And what was the next one? Team Treks.
Team Treks Toolkit. You know, these guys were on the waiting list from last time, and believe it or not, I was also heavily involved in building this one when I was at Slantwise.
Okay, we're seeing another theme develop here.
They were on the waiting list, okay? Mm-hmm. But this is a pretty interesting story because Mike Qualmquist, who's going to do the demo, and his partner Larry, I'm blanking on his last name. Sorry, Larry Finau. Sorry, they're not actual partners. They're partners in the company.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. Exactly. I just didn't want people to get the wrong impression. But they have a company downtown in the Warehouse District called Portage Interactive, and they make interactive CD-ROM flash kind of things. One of their big things that they do is the Shrek stuff that HP does. So you can, you know, print your own Shrek mask and stuff like that. But before they did that, before they got into the interactive game, they actually worked at what was the Minnesota software company for education?
MEC, Minnesota Educational Computing Corporation.
That's right. They used to work for MEC. And so they were involved in the design and building of the later Oregon Trail games and like Amazon Trail and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So their history is in educational games. And so Team Trex is actually an educational game that teaches like reading skills and map reading and stuff like that. Basically, the idea is like you're on a team of four and you've been dropped with your kayak into Glacier Bay in Alaska, and you've got to find your way back to the headquarters. And while you do that, you have to like, you know, identify fish and find places to camp and stuff like that.
Well, you know, I got to tell you that the Oregon Trail was probably one of the best accepted interactive CD-based games ever for education.
Yeah, definitely.
So this will be interesting to look at.
Yeah.
Sudden Deals, we were poking around that earlier, and I think both you and Phil, you and Tim both signed up right when we were starting.
Yeah, we haven't been inundated with a sudden influx of deals, but then again, if we just got started. So.
Yeah, I actually haven't used this one myself yet, but these guys, again, were on the waiting list from last time, and so I contacted them. And basically the idea is you sign up on their website, and then when you choose, they'll send you to your phone text message coupons and stuff like that, that you can go out to a bar and be like, hey, I get 2-for-1s.
Yeah, like the two topics to choose from are music and dining. Just getting started.
Yeah, and I think they're pretty much local now. Although, of course, I'm sure they'd like to expand to other markets.
One place.
Yes. So I also haven't used this one myself yet, though I've checked out their website quite a bit. This is from Steve Kickert down at River Rock Technologies. They are a local Ruby on Rails development firm, sort of like Slantwise. And they're trying to move out into software products, I think. And so One Place, I think, is their first product. And it's kind of they'll probably hate me for saying this, but I think of it as kind of like Basecamp from 37 Signals. So it's a project management tool and collaboration tool, but I think it's about kind of like getting things done.
Well, yeah, I did a post on Minovate because I interviewed Steve Kickert about this. And I've actually signed up and used it. It's got some great aspects to it from, not just a collaboration, but also from a GTD, a getting things done perspective.
Cool. Is it intentionally based on GTD or?
Oh no, not at all.
Okay.
No.
Cause I think, one of the other ones, Enlighten, number 9 down at the bottom of the list, it'll be curious to compare them because I think they have some overlap. Especially on the project management and personal productivity front.
Mm-hmm.
But they are, I think, definitely inspired by getting things done. And if you read their blog, they talk about how to use Enlighten for getting things done and stuff like that.
Yep.
Can we just kind of just briefly touch on the concept of the GTD, you know, platform and that sort of thing? Can somebody explain that buzz phrase to me?
Yeah, there's a guy named David Allen who was a kind of a time management guru, and he set up a system that allows you to put things in context and to deal with all the inputs. So you have an inbox and you pick up something and you look at, I mean, I'm giving you a synopsis here, but you pick up something and you look at it and make a decision on, can I do it now within 2 minutes? Or is it something that has to be in a certain context? So I have to deal with it when I'm in my car or when I'm at home or whatever. Is it a personal task? And it's just a way of very quickly getting a handle on all the things in your life that you need to take care of and get done. And you know, you can't get something done if you've got to be sitting at your computer, scanning something. You can't do that when you're in your car, but when you're in your car, you could make a phone call. So you do things within the context of where you are at that moment. So it's
also one of the core factors is getting an inventory of everything that's weighing on your mind to get it out of your head.
Bingo.
So you can focus on one thing at a time and have a better understanding of where your energies are, where your promises are put.
I think the idea of getting it out of your head, I read this book a lot. I don't actually follow his system is pretty elaborate. Well, it's simple, but it's definitely takes some setup. But I think the idea of getting it out of your head is absolutely huge.
Okay, so there's no electric shock to your genitals or anything like this. Not getting things done.
If you want to, Phil, but I'm not doing it.
There is an online web app, I think, for that specifically.
Thank you so much. Demoed,
but
that gives a whole new meaning to the word widget, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think the difference, though, that I think is unique about both what Enlightenment is doing and what One Place is doing is it's just fine if there's, you know, 10 people on a team and one of them is absolutely a GTD devotee and is using it all the time and loves it and all that. But if no one else is using it, then, you know, it doesn't really have a whole lot of meaning. But if you can subtly add group GTD-like components to your collaboration, then, you know, in theory, it's going to be something that's absorbed by the team.
Yeah. So are there people on this discussion right now that are GTD devotees?
I am, in the same way that I eat right and exercise. So in other words,
I was going to say,
I'm doing okay.
The ADD over there is telling me.
Yeah. No, I do use the system. I just am not, you know, Mr. Organized. So
you're not a fanatic.
I'm not a fanatic.
But if memory serves, Garrick was sporting one of those hipster PDAs last time I saw him.
Yeah, exactly. That's my, that's getting it out of my head.
Excellent.
Hey, Garrick, how do you walk around with a 2-inch thick stack of note cards like that?
I try not to.
Where do you put it?
He has a little wagon. He takes it.
Right.
Luke, you haven't seen his man purse?
Yeah, don't be giving Garrick too much grief. The first time I met Garrick and he whipped out the cards, I was thinking, this guy is prepared for morons like me every day. Let me draw it out for you, stupid.
It's down to about a quarter inch at this point, which means I need to do one of those, you know, all day inventory, get it out of my head things.
No, you just got everything done. Everything's done, right?
So another point is that there's always plenty to be done. You never reach the end of the list, and you just have to be comfortable with that.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to talk about Zanby. Yeah,
Zanby, because it, well, you know, and what fascinated me about Zanby, and maybe it's Chris Dykstra, right? He'll talk about this, but the uptake.org was built on this.
Was it?
Yep. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
They launched the new uptake and the new Zanby at the same time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know that Chris was involved with both. Chris is actually also an old contact of mine, going back to the dark days of the post-Bush victory. we were both volunteering for the DFL. But anyway, Zanby is sort of started as a kind of alternative to Meetup. And I think he's kind of gone beyond that to make it more of a, you know, it's groups and it's collaboration all at once. So you could use it inside a big company. They use it at the DFL to organize volunteers. Sounds like they're using it for stuff like the uptake, which is pretty cool.
I think the one thing that makes it different from something like Meetup or other sorts of just single group collaboration tools is the notion of a hierarchy and tiers of groups.
Okay.
Being able to pass things between tiers of groups. So that's why I worked with the DFL and the distributed nature of the uptake. So you can have a larger uptake group, but within it you have Minnesota and Colorado, and you can pass things back and forth.
Cool.
Yeah, I think it was the you know, he explained it to me one day as sort of a, you know, taking the power of the social community and then having groups within that social community and giving them the ability to move around the community as a group. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I'm actually pretty excited to see this because I haven't seen much about the new Zambi. I know they launched a few months ago, right? Mm-hmm. So this should be good.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to hardcore computer. I was absolutely fascinated by this, and I want to actually see this demo as well because I need to know, do you have to wear lead underwear to protect yourself from all the radiation that comes out of this thing? It's, looks like it's glowing.
You need more often?
Yeah.
Well, what is it with Minnesota and supercomputers anyway?
I don't know. These guys...
it's kind of weird, huh?
These guys came out of IBM, I believe, so they've got some hardware experience down there in Rochester. I was actually pretty excited to hear from these guys as well, because I had no idea they were in Minnesota.
I didn't either.
I think I saw it on Julio's blog, and you know, just these huge pictures of this like glowing blue computer. And usually, like, computers are glowing blue because somebody like cut a hole in it and installed a light. But this one's glowing because it's like, you know, it's filled with liquid mineral oil, and then they put a light in there, and so it sort of wavers, and you know, it's, I mean, it's superfluous, but in a different way. And so I was kind of excited because, you know, having a liquid cool computer is pretty cool. So I'd heard of it already. And then he contacted me a few weeks ago asking if he could present at Mini Demo because one of his board members told him about the event. So I didn't even know they were in Rochester. So they're going to come up and show us, put this machine through its paces with some demos and, you know, games and stuff like that to show how fast it is, which I think will be pretty cool.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, plus it's fun to have hardware.
Yeah, and this is actually our first hardware demo that we've ever had at Mini Demo. Everything else we've ever done has been software.
Interesting. Okay, and then Tri-Catch Games.
This will be another first for us. This is Nate. I'm going to butcher his name too. Pygacha or something like that. Sorry, Nate. He is a friend of a colleague of mine, and they initially contacted me wanting to get in on the next Mini Demo, and I said, well, it's not going to be till February, but if you're ready now, we still have a couple spots left. So they jumped on that, and basically they're a new local gaming company. If you go to their website, there's not a whole lot there right now. But what they're going to be doing is, or what they are doing, is making a bunch of kind of casual games that are supposed to appeal to people of, you know, both sexes who want to, you know, just kill some time by playing some games. So they're making flash games, and I'm pretty excited to see what they've come up with. I don't really know a whole lot about the kind of games that they're making, but I know that they're kind of more casual, mm-hmm. you know, kill some time kind of thing. Not like I'm obsessed with it and have to play it 16 hours a day, like World of Warcraft or whatever.
Right.
Do you know, Luke, if they do commissions as well as just their own stuff?
I would imagine that they probably do, but I'm not sure where they're at on that.
Yeah, well, actually, it says that they're producing on their website that they producing customized games to meet specific client needs.
I guess they do.
Yeah, I assume they do. Yeah.
But they also say that they make them in their spare time, so I wonder what they do most of the time. Maybe it's create these customized games, and then their spare time they make these fun ones.
Maybe it's play World of Warcraft.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it looks like they've updated their website, so that's cool.
Yeah, that swatting game is really pretty fun, actually.
Well, last but not least is Bannerflow. And we talked a little bit about this before we actually started recording the show, but this looks very intriguing.
So the idea behind Bannerflow is that so Tom Ucock, again, I'm probably mangling his name too. I should have really talked to these people before I came on this podcast. But anyway, he works for an ad agency in town here, and you know, probably after the 500th time where he had to set up an FTP destination or a web HTTP drop zone for sharing the banner ads with his clients, so that they can approve them or, you know, suggest changes or whatever. He got tired of this and he thought, you know, there's got to be a better way. So this is a site or a product that really has the genesis and kind of the best kind of product, I think, which is meeting a need that you yourself have. So, you know, the customers that this is targeted at are ad agencies that are designing, you know, graphic elements or flash ads and stuff like that, that need to show it to the client. And basically you can upload GIFs, you can upload other image types, but you can also put flash in there, and then, you know, you can't really just view flash, so it gets embedded properly so that the client can interact with the flash ad and see its animations and stuff like that. And then it also can be versioned, so you can kind of like flip between, you know, version one and version two and see what's different. And it's just a way to really show the banner ads to your clients easily and without hassle.
But they're also hosting the ad itself, so they can do the analytics on the back end, right?
I don't know if they're planning on hosting them or not. Okay. They certainly could. That would be cool. But I think the real genesis of the idea is that they can allow the client to see it without the huge hassle of having to create an FTP username and stuff like that, mm-hmm. which is apparently how everybody's doing it right now.
Well, yeah, I'm going to have to sit through this demo too, because there's one screenshot that talks about how Bannerflow easily and conveniently manages all your banner ads and campaigns. So I'm assuming that's the only way they could track it, is that, you know, the embed is done with the code, but the hosting of the ad itself is delivered by these guys. So we'll just have to go through the demo and watch it.
Yeah.
Interesting. Huh. Well, what's so a great
many,
lineup.
How many people do you expect, Luke, to show up?
I put on the Eventbrite site, I put the number of tickets at 300. So that's pretty much what I expect. The real question will be, how many people are going to come without signing up, which is always fun. So yeah, we'll see about that. I would say about 300 is a good number.
How much time do you find yourself investing in this to pull this off?
Probably more than my employer would care to know about. I don't know. I mean, it is a time commitment, but it's fun, so I don't really keep track of it. The real work is done by the people who are doing the demos, but there is quite a bit of work in, you know, finding the venue. That's probably the biggest challenge right now, finding a good venue. Then we have to raise the sponsorship money to actually pay for the venue. We have to find the demo.
Can you give me a ballpark on what kind of, how many zeros you need to raise to put this thing together, like rent out the space and that sort of thing?
For this one, we're in the low thousands. Mini bar itself costs a lot more. I think our last one was more than $10,000.
Wow, that's pretty awesome that you're able to scare up that kind of cash from the sponsors.
Yeah, I mean, our sponsors are awesome. I should probably, since I'm advertising Minute DMO, throw out my sponsors here. Do we have a new one? Oh, we don't actually have a new one this time, but our sponsors have been there for us for a long time. We have Split Rock Partners, the venture capital firm, Sierra Bravo, a web development firm, New Counsel, lawyers for startups and tech companies, IP House for all your internet needs, and then Slantwise Design actually sponsored the first mini demo, and they're back. So, and, you know, the fact that these guys all ponied up means that we can do this. If they hadn't, well, we'd probably be doing it in my living room or something.
Yeah, that's great sponsorship and consistent. I mean, they're clearly continuing to make an investment in Minnesota and the development community here.
Yeah, we'd like to broaden our sponsorship range just because we don't want to, you know, if one of these sponsors has to drop out for whatever reason, we don't want to be in a place where like no one else has ever sponsored our event and we're like, crap, where do we find somebody else who's willing to, you know, take a risk on us?
Yeah.
Cause I mean, I think it's worth it for them. It's fairly inexpensive and they get a lot of visibility in the community, but like, I can't say, yes, this person has gotten more clients because they sponsored mini demo. I mean, there's no metrics like that. It's really more of a, an association and supporting the community. And hopefully they get some good karma from it, but I don't really know.
You know, that's one of the things that I think is interesting is that the people that are sponsoring it are very, very relevant and appropriate for the business side of this space. And I'm wondering if there's a, my first thought is maybe we need to, bang on the door of somebody like Surly Brewing or Flat Earth to the more recreational side of things. And that might be a little more measurable.
Well, let's just say I explored my avenues with Surly this time.
Oh, I trust that you did.
I would love to get Surly as a sponsor. I think that would be fantastic. And just a little heads up, we are actually going to have 2 kegs of Surly beer at the event this time.
Well, that's good enough for me.
But I think like, I mean, beer plus geeks, I mean, you can't really go wrong because these are people who like drinking beer and they usually have the money to spend on it. So, you know, somebody like Surly or Summit, I think would be a great sponsor to have and I would love it. Mm-hmm.
Great.
Cool. Well,
this is shaping up to be just a great, great venue and really, I think probably the best. Not to take anything away from anyone who's presented before, but probably the strongest lineup that I've seen.
Yeah. One of the things I did this time is I cut the time in half. And so therefore we can have more people.
More like an Ignite type of.
Yes, yep. Exactly.
Yep.
I think the demo conference is 6 minutes. So that's kind of what I'm going for with the 7 minute time. And I want these to be real fast, real focused, and then get on to the next one. And I think having 10 people gives more startups and more organizations chance to present. I did get a complaint that somebody wanted to see something more experimental. I think a good example of that would be at the, I think it was the second mini demo, we had the Doomtree reactive video utility that they use at Doomtree shows here in town. And that was really cool, kind of experimental art thing. And I would definitely love to see something like that at a future mini demo. So if you've got a really cool project that doesn't really have a startup behind it or whatever, that doesn't matter. Just contact me and I'll get you on the schedule.
I have an idea, so I'll send you an email.
All right.
Good. I mean, not me personally, but somebody I know. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I would love to hear from, from people who attend the event, what they would like to see at future mini demos. I think we'll probably put out a survey or something after the event just to get some feedback.
Excellent. Well, we'll look forward to it. And Luke, thanks for jumping on today. This has been terrific. Yeah.
Thanks for interviewing me. Thanks for talking about mini demo. We still have tickets left, so I'd love to see all your listeners at the event.
Sounds great. It'll be in the show notes.
We will be there.
In fact, we'll go ahead and give him a lift. So it'll be good.
All right. Well, have a great weekend, everybody.
Yep.
See you. you later, guys. Thanks.
Hey, we're not going to talk about Obama.
You can if you want. That's okay. All right. Take care, everybody.
Yeah, I'll see you.
Bye. Bye-bye.